subtle skills, big results.
Welcome to the Ninja Selling Podcast.
Welcome back to the Ninja Selling Podcast. Matt and Garrett are here with you today, and we're excited. We are going to go down a little path of what happens when things don't go perfect, and what does that mean in your business when things don't go perfect. Before we get jumped into that episode, if you want to learn more about Ninja Selling and Ninja Coaching, please go to ninjaselling.com. If you're looking for a coach and you want to learn all about the coaching program, we have an amazing group of coaches that are here to help you specifically with Ninja, implementing your business, getting the goals that you want to have, building the business that you've always dreamed about. That's what our specialty is. And we are here to support you. So if you want to come check that out, we are here. If you want to be around a light group of people just like yourself, go to Facebook, go to the Ninja Selling Podcast community, and you will find over 15,000 people that are in that group that are there sharing ideas, supporting one another. Amazing group of people. So go check them out. Speaking of an amazing group of people or amazing person, Matt Benelli, good morning, sir.
Good morning, Garrett. How are you today, my friend?
I'm good. It's dark. It's dark and stormy here. It is nasty stormy, but it's a wonderful day.
Yeah, it's always a great day to be alive, for sure. And this is going to be a fun topic because it's not even just when things don't go perfect. It's when things go wrong. Like,
wrong.
We have a problem. Houston, we have a problem, right? And you're going to share an experience that you've had recently. And I think diving into this, the overall theme here, and I'm sure people have experienced this, is when things do go wrong, there's an incredible opportunity to showcase value. And a lot of times that is where people become raving fans, is when things go wrong, right? And so I'm excited to talk about this, but then also throw the other side of it and have a conversation around, well, can we create these moments and experiences when things go right? Like, do we have to wait until things go wrong for this to happen? So let's dive in, man.
I know. I think it's interesting too, Matt, because, you know, we're all striving for things to go right. And we walk away like a successful real estate transaction is like, okay, we got to the closing table. Everybody's good. Everybody's happy. Things went great. And we go, win. It was awesome. And the reality is that's what everybody was expecting. That's what the client was expecting. That's what we were hoping for. And nothing was outside the box. Nothing was over the top. Nothing was great. It was just good. It worked. It was great. That's what we expected. It's like when you go out to dinner, you get a meal and everything just is perfect. It's like, what went over the top to make this experience incredible? And this came back to when things go wrong. Sometimes as real estate agents, we're trying so hard to like avoid those things. We won't make the phone call after the closing to the people that just bought the house. Because what if something's wrong? What if something happened? The phone rings like a couple days after the actual sale and every bit of our body goes, they're calling. Like, I hope everything's okay. Oh my gosh, what if something's wrong? Like, I don't even want to answer the phone right now. Let it go to voicemail. We freak out over this stuff. And the reality is that you just said, it's an opportunity. Let's say something went wrong. This is now the opportunity that's going to set the stage of the last thing that they got to work with you on, which was you stepping up, raising the bar, going above and beyond to help them out. So here's a scenario. Real life situation. Everybody ready? Story time. We will make it quick. So my daughter and I have a tradition with my kids is that when it is time for them to have a car, we have a tradition to go buy a car. And we head down south because we live in a little town of Redding, California. We head down to Sacramento. If we need to, we'll go all the way to San Francisco. And it's a 2-day process. I used to sell cars. I have a system. I know exactly how to buy used cars. We're not buying new cars. We're buying used cars. I am ruthless. I am not fun. I know exactly every trick that there is in the book. So we start bouncing around to different dealerships. Well, we find this one car. My daughter loves it. We go in. We negotiate on it. We get to our deal. And they're like, look, we want to get you guys out on the road. We had a huge storm coming in and we leave the dealership. Got the car. Everybody's happy. My daughter's happy. I'm happy. We're in two separate cars. She's following me. We get 10 minutes from the dealership. She says, my tire sensor is telling me that I have a low tire. And I was like, new car, used car. It might just be faulty. Let's pull up at the next exit. We'll check it out. Sure enough, we pull over and it is whistling tire pressure coming out of this thing. Driver's side front tire, right in the middle of the tread, good old hole, just pumping air out. So I was like, all right, went over, got the tire fixed. As we're getting, no spare, by the way, run flats on this thing. So, which is something I'm new to. That's not a thing that any of my other cars have. So Matt's like, yeah, that's what you get, run flats. I can see him nodding his head.
Well, certain vehicles, I mean, it's convenient. You don't have to change the tire to get to where you need to go to have the tire fixed. So
I was all ready to put a spare on. Like, I was in. But here's the thing. Like,
I don't have run flats anymore on my cars, so I'm with you.
Things were watching out for us, because if I would have just had a spare and I would have put the spare on, this is where I'm like looking like everything kind of happens for a reason. Because I had the run flat, I had to go to a tire repair shop. Let me add in, it's 4 o'clock on a Sunday right now, and we're still 200 miles away from home.
Your dealerships are open on Sundays?
The Firestone Tire Shop is open on Sundays.
But you bought the car on Sunday then too.
Oh yeah, that's car buying time, man.
Oh yeah, well, our dealerships are closed on Sundays.
Oh, we're California. Everybody's working all the time. So what happens now is they're like, we'll fix the tire. I'm like, I'm getting dinner. Well, I get a phone call while we're sitting at dinner and they say, great, we got the tire fixed. Bad news is there's an oil leak. And I'm like, all right, cars have oil leaks. Not that big of a deal. I'm like, how bad is it? Since it's been on the lift, which has been about 20 minutes, we have a 6-inch puddle of oil under the car. I'm like, well, that's a little extreme.
Not good.
So I called the dealership and I said, hey, this is the scenario. It's now like 5 o'clock and they're like, bring the car back to us. Now, I had signed every document that said you're buying this car as is. You have the option to take it to a mechanic. You're turning that down. Like all these things. Like when you leave this parking lot, that car is yours. And if we never see you again, we're totally okay with that. Like I signed it all. And my car buying experience in the past was that like sometimes that they will, those dealerships will stand by that stuff. I've seen it. So, they're like, bring it back right now. And I was like, well, I think, because again, I have a mechanic brain. I'm like, I know exactly what it is. BMW, it's a BMW. We got my daughter. The drain plugs fail on them. They're weak drain plugs. Are made of plastic. I think I can fix it. And I, in my mind, Matt, I'm like looking at like how I can pull it up on curbs so I can get enough room to shimmy underneath this thing that I can actually get in there and do it. And I'm looking across the street and I'm like, there's an AutoZone over there. I can buy the tool that I need because I know it's a 14-inch drain plug. Oh, 17-inch. I'm like, I know I can go buy that and get under the car and get it done. So we're sitting there and we get to a point that I'm like, I can't drive forward. We can't go forward. I can't drive 200 miles and have my daughter on the side of the road, maybe stuck. She's in tears now because she's upset because it's her car that we just got her and we're now stuck in the situation. 10 minutes to six, they close at 6 o'clock at night on a Sunday. 10 minutes to six, I call them and I said, I'm afraid to drive the thing north. What do you guys want to do? They're like, get it back to us. We will stay open. Bring the car back to us. I'm like, don't close. I'm like, I'm driving that way now. We drove back in the heaviest rainstorm I've ever been in my life, Matt. Like, this is just like amping up the stress of my daughter. Like the whole time I'm like following her, I'm like, oh my gosh, this poor kid. Like it is just getting more and more stressful. We're 40 miles an hour on the side of the road, creeping up over this hill, trying to get back in a 70 mile an hour freeway zone. Stress levels are going up. We get there. They run out to us, umbrellas and everything, grab the keys. This is an independent lot. This is not a BMW dealership. It's a little independent lot. Grab the keys from us. And they're like, you guys head home, get home safe in the storm. We're going to fix this. We're going to deliver the car to you. 200 miles away. I said, you do realize where I live. They said, this is not the experience that we want you to have. We're coming and buying a car from our dealership. They said, this is not who we are. That car was perfect. We're going to make it perfect. We're going to get it to you. All right. 2 days later, two guys show up at my house, hand the keys over to my daughter, who was freaking out. Because she was not freaking out as excitement, freaking out over, well, what do I do? What questions are they going to ask me? How are we going to, like, what do I need to do? And I'm just like, if everything's perfect, they're going to hand you the keys to the car that you fell in love with, and they're going to get in their cars and drive away, which they did. They even followed up to make sure that everything was okay in exactly the way that we expected it once the car got here. So want to give a quick shout out before we move any farther. Auto Links. In Vallejo, California, if anybody is looking for They do all kinds of high-end vehicles. They do all kinds of normal vehicles. Those guys are no joke. Cornelius, who is one of the salespeople there, was on it, called me every single day, checked in on me every single day, gave me updates every single day as this whole thing happened. They are no joke. And if anybody lives in the Bay Area and is going to buy a used car, that's the place I recommend you go to. But we would have talked about this today because this was this prime situation that they could have said, sorry, we're closing. We have no answers for you. They could, there's so many ways it could have happened, but they took care of us. And I want to bring this back to real estate. But if anybody who's listening who's not in real estate, we have these little golden opportunities that show up. And so often we run away from them, Matt. And I want to dive into how can we turn these into opportunities? Because this is where raving fans are created. And you want raving fans in your business. You want people on podcasts talking about your business, about how you are the best company that they've ever bought a car through. Which I did clear it with them, by the way.
Well, and even if you didn't, you just like, this is the thing. In today's world too, how you choose to treat people and how you choose to create an experience for people is going to be shared for good or for bad.
Yep.
And what I find fascinating about a story like this too, Garrett, is they could have solved the problem without delivering the car to you 200 miles away. And I don't think you would have been upset.
I would have totally driven back down. I even told them, I said, I'll come back down and get the car. And they're like, absolutely not. Oh, by the way, I was right. It was a drain plug. Just needed a new one. They ordered a new one.
And they could have fixed it and said, hey, you know, this little quick service costs this. And that would have probably made you a little upset.
One of their options was, because I said I wasn't bringing the car back to them, because every bit of my brain was get home, get home, get home, get home. That's where my mind was at.
Yeah.
And they said, well, here's what you got to do. The minute you get home, get it to the mechanic and let us know what your mechanic says. And even at that, I was going, okay, now I've got another situation. Yes, I'm going to get home.
Right.
I'm going to wake up to a huge puddle of oil in my driveway and a car with no oil in it. And it's just like, oh, gosh. So they handled it at the highest level we can. But so you think about this. Think about every home that we sell. We're literally selling used product.
Yeah.
It's a used, for the most part. There are a lot of you out there that sell brand new houses, but the majority of homes that get transferred every single day are used inventory.
Yeah.
And they're not perfect.
No. Even when you inspect them and do all the things, like, things happen.
It is easy.
Even with cars too. I mean, like, you use things, they break.
And you don't know when they're going to break. Like, cars are funny, and everybody goes like, oh, I bought this to make my daughters, like, they should have known. You know, she got really upset for a second, going like, how dare they? I'm like, it's a car with 50,000 miles on it. Like, anything can go wrong at any time. It's a car. It's been driven. It's been used. What it is. But it's funny, like, in a home, like, there's so many moving parts. There's so many things of a house that you could very easily go, you should have known this. You should have known that, or some of the inspectors should have caught this. And a lot of times for us to step in and fix it, or to have a handyman go over and take care of it, to say, hey, this is not the way I wanted you guys to start off this relationship with your house. The biggest thing I've ever seen somebody have to do, Matt, is take care of a water heater.
I've done that.
That's the biggest one that I've seen.
Two of them.
Two. No, as a realtor or you personally?
As a realtor.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's also a way to create a raving fan too.
Oh yeah, for sure. And I think, you know, okay, so things can go wrong with the house, and I see people going, oh my goodness, like, this can add up, because like, now I can see it might be like, does this mean I need to dive in and fix everything that goes wrong with my clients' houses?
Before we go where I know you're going right now.
Well, I can hear people thinking that.
Oh no, I get it. And here's the thing. When you create a raving fan, they will now dump a referral potentially in your lap while they're raving to all of their friends about what an amazing thing that you did going above and beyond, because you're unlike any realtor they've ever dealt with. Just like I just raved about a used car dealership that don't usually get praised the way that we give praise. That right there is like, yes, this could cost some money. I might spend some dollars here. I might spend dollars, more dollars on every transaction than I used to that I spend in my business right now. It doesn't mean you make less. What it means is you attract in way more business that, yeah, you have a little bit more to run this thing. But the win on the other side of it, of more people using you, is huge.
Well, yeah, and let's tie this to things that are a bit more in your control, let's say, right? Because buying a car from a dealership, the dealership owns that car.
100%.
They are selling that to you, right? When you help someone buy or sell a house, you don't own that house. You're not responsible for the condition and all those things. You advise and you guide. But here's the thing. Things go wrong in the process too, right? Sometimes things go a little bit awry. You know, the lender you recommended, the inspector you recommended, this person that you recommended may have missed something or may have, you know, whatever. And these are those moments when you talk about when things go wrong, the opportunity to showcase value is massive. And so it's not necessarily does something break and are we paying to fix it, is when things go outside of what we are expecting to have happen, how do you show up? Because I see a lot of realtors when, you know, the lender's dropping the ball, they go, well, it's the lender's fault. There's nothing we can do. We're just, you know, it's just, I'm just waiting on the lender. And it's like, okay, cool. Now, I'm not saying we can go step in and do the other person's job, but what can we do to go above and beyond to showcase that we are doing everything that we possibly can to solve this issue that has come up? And I think that's really what we're talking about here.
I've had that situation, Matt, where I've had my realtor that we got in a very similar situation like that. And my realtor's like, just so you know, moving forward, I'm going to call that lender every single day. And I'm just going to apply the heat to them. And we're going to make sure we get, because obviously they're dropping the ball. They're not following through on certain things. And I'm just going to get a report every single day. And I'm going to let you know what my conversation was with them. And I was like, thank you. I appreciate that. Because that's where I was at. Like, I was like, what do I need to call you every single day? And my realtor was like, no, I got it.
Yeah.
Like, good. Thank you.
Yeah. I mean, and I think these are the things you can look out for, is like, if things are going a little bit astray here, how can I take something off of my client's plate here, right? How can I help? And I think this comes in huge with a listing side, really, when you're looking at, oh gosh, all these things that this seller needs to do to get the house ready or to be show ready. And it doesn't even mean you have to pay for anything, but just take the management of a task off of their plate.
Yep.
You know, surprise them with something that, you know, has them go, oh, wow, you didn't have to do that. And thank you so much. Like, that's a huge, huge help, right? Because in this experience, I'm thinking about them delivering the car to you. That was the wow thing that really made this thing something you wanted to talk about. Because if they were like, hey, bring the car back, we're going to get it fixed, everything's going to be okay, I'm not sure you would have talked about it. Delivering a car 200 miles away for free, when the whole deal was centered around you driving off the lot. I mean, and that's not cheap to deliver a car like that at 200 miles. I mean, it's not expensive for a dealership, but it's not cheap, right?
No, it's like you put into it. So you take, I mean,
well, you have time, gas.
You got two people's labor. You got another vehicle you're driving up here.
Well, they probably hired a tow company to do it. I'm sure they don't own their own flatbed that they drive around.
They drove up two cars. One guy drove this car. Oh,
see, they didn't even tow it. They drove it.
They put two people, two employees on the road for a 400 mile day trip.
Yeah. So, you know, you look at that and you're like, okay, that was the thing, right? And in our business, it's not what we pay for. It's what we do for the experience, right? That's where the value comes in when things go wrong. A lot of people think that you can just solve it with money. You can't.
Yeah.
It's more than that. It's the experience. You have to think about what the end result is for the client. What do we want them to feel at the end of this to make this better?
Because you're right, Matt. This wasn't a money thing. This was a time and attention and taking care of details and making sure that they were taking care of their client. Because at the end of the day, that wasn't an expensive thing to take care of all that stuff. The drain plug was maybe $15. You know, all those types of stuff to get that taken care of. But the experience of how I felt like I was being taken care of, that's the reason. From the moment they said, bring the car back to me.
Yes.
To the moment they said, we're going to have this thing delivered up to you. I'm like, and it's funny. And I think it's interesting how our clients interpret all these things. And I'm going to use myself and my daughter as two different examples here, because my daughter was really upset in the moment that we were driving away from the dealership. And I said to her, I said, you need to give them a chance. Things go wrong. Things happen in all types of situations. And I said, this is a moment when they get to respond to something going wrong. And this is going to tell us everything we need to know about these people that we just decided to do business with. And until they don't show up, we need to give them the benefit of the doubt that a bad situation happened. They're making it right. Give them the opportunity to make it right. And again, then all of a sudden we have everybody extremely happy. And again, these are the things that these are. Now, Matt, you also went down the route of like, but let's say everything goes great.
Well, before we get to that,
okay,
that beginning moment, right? The beginning and the end, right? It was the delivery that was the wow. It was also the very first thing they said when you called was, we will take care of it. Not, well, how much oil is it really dumping?
Tell me what's going on. Yeah.
Right. Like, hey, do you mind getting under the car and just taking a look? Which is how a lot of people troubleshoot with clients. And now I'm not saying that every situation warrants you to be like, hey, I got it. Right.
Yeah.
But if you start with, we're going to make this right, we're going to take care of this, we're going to resolve this, we're going to get through this, right? Giving that reassurance immediately when a client or a customer says, I have a problem, we say, great, I got you, right?
Yep.
I got you. We're going to get through this. That's not a commitment to paying for everything. That's not a commitment for doing things that are unreasonable based on what your services are. It is an acknowledgement to the person who's saying, I have a problem, and you saying, okay, I totally hear you, which is what they want, right?
Yep.
So now let's go to like, wow, like that is what made you. Now, what could have this dealership done, and what can we do in our business so that when everything goes perfect, you have that same feeling? Because yeah, we get these like great, like, wow, they really turned a bad situation into a great situation. So the swing, the emotional swing is so great, which is what gets us excited to create reviews, talk about them and all these things. Whereas when things just kind of go pretty good, like, yeah, things went pretty good. So what are the things that we can do to make things outrageously exceptional so that when things are perfect, we have raving fans from that?
Well, and this is where the words that I'm about to use can rub some people the wrong way, which is the bar's not set very high. And yeah, I think we need to look at like the dealership, in my experience of going and using a dealership like I used, the bar's not set very high. I've been dealing with dealerships like that for the last 2 days as I was going into that. And, you know, you get everybody from a certain, we'll just say a BMW dealership where you walk in and they have a certain level of how they take care of you. And it's a very pleasurable place to go walk into to do business and to buy a car. I wish I could have bought one from a BMW dealership. I've done it in the past and it's great. The other option is, and we went and saw a lot of little teeny 20 car lots on the side of the freeway and ran in and looked at their inventory. And by the way, both do the same thing. They both sell cars. They're both doing exactly the same thing. And at the end of the day, we walked in and both my daughter and I were like, how quickly can we get back in the car after having a 5-minute conversation with the salesperson and going, we need to get out of here. Like, this is not where we're buying a car from. Same business. And I think in real estate, we have these extremes also. And first off, Matt, as I would say, you know, who do you want to be? What type of business do you want to have? And all of them are viable businesses. That small lot that we went to that we're like, we got to get out of here for the right person and the right situation, there's a business built around that. And also for the BMW dealership, there's the right business built around that. But what do we want to do to raise the bar? And I think anybody who's listening to us, anybody who takes the time to fly across the United States and go to an installation, we're not looking at trying to be mediocre, and we're not looking at trying to, there's, you know, just do exactly what we can get by with. And I think this is an incredible opportunity, not necessarily waiting for when things go wrong, being ready that if something goes wrong, we're going to handle it at the highest level. But I think also sitting back and saying, how far do we really have to go to offer in a little service, a little whatnot, a little thing over here, a little extra that's going to make people walk away going, that's unlike any realtor I've ever worked before in my life with. Like, I have never had that experience and they will take care of you. That place that turns them into these raving fans. I hate saying the bar's not set very high, but it's not.
It's not set high. Well, the differentiation too, I mean, you know, and we've talked about this before with unreasonable hospitality and everything, like closing day is very anticlimactic, right? Ultimately. And a lot of times that's where service ends. It's like, okay, cool. Like, yay, we closed. We got the keys and that's it, right? And I'm not saying that everybody needs to go and create these incredible closing experiences, although not necessarily a bad idea.
But just know there's a lot of realtors who still don't show up at the closing table.
Yeah. Well, and do you need to, right? Like, I know a realtor who has not gone to a closing in 3 or 4 years, but she does stuff after that that shows up for the clients. It's not like, hey, congratulations, I'm out, right? It was like, why would I need to sit in a room for 3 hours while you sign watch you sign documents?
Oh, yeah. You could totally be getting the house ready with ribbons and bows and balloons and all kinds of stuff. So when they get back from closing, they're like,
well, and I think this is where you figure out what is, you said it, what is the type of business that you want to run? Right. And also think about what are the experiences that people are truly going to enjoy? Like, I could see, so applying your scenario here, I could see the dealership being like, hey, these folks drove down how many, 2 hours is it?
200 miles.
No, 3 hours, 200 miles. So a little over three, depending on highway speeds and all that stuff, right? Let's call it 3 hours, right? I would sit there and be like, these people came in on a Sunday afternoon, it's 3 hours. They're going to be driving back around dinner time. We're going to do a couple things. First of all, we're going to have this awesome experience. We're going to make sure the car's washed, put a little bow on it, take some pictures, you know, have this fun experience. Then as they leave, we're going to make sure that there is a fresh bottle of water in Jocelyn's car. And we're also going to see if we can get one in the truck that Garrett's driving, right? Or just hand them and say, hey, here, you might be thirsty on the way back. And here's a gift card to grab dinner on your way back, right? Now, it's funny because I just had a conversation with a client yesterday about like gift cards can be kind of mediocre. But in this scenario, yeah, I think it plays really well because like, hey, they might be hungry on the way back.
You can give a little gift card and say, this is for a car wash when you get the car back up to where you guys are going to. I know you have a long drive ahead of you.
Could even be that too, right? And just acknowledging that, that would make me go like, oh man, this is pretty awesome. Like I'm excited to talk about this dealership and this experience because of that. And that's with everything going right. And I think these are the things that we can apply systems to have a lot of things that are ready to go. Ultimately, our systems do become, they're great, but we have to have a system that also allows us to account for the nuance, the little differences for each client so that we can then take a different system and apply it. Just like they did, they talk about an unreasonable hospitality with the engagements, right? Mm-hmm. They had the Tiffany champagne glasses waiting for those moments. So there was a system for it. It's not everybody got the Tiffany glasses. Like, no, only when an engagement happened, but they were ready for it. And it made it special because it wasn't happening all the time. Although I guess it happened quite enough that they were stocking these things in the back. But that's what I'm talking about, Garrett, on the things that go right. Like, how do we create those raving fans when things go right? And it's these little tiny things that don't cost a lot of money, but they do require us to pay a little extra attention to the people that we are working with in order to create that customized experience for them.
And sometimes, again, it's not money. And that's where I think is like, I'm sitting here thinking about, I know you guys think I'm weird already, but I watch like car dealers detailer things on YouTube because I love knowing how to clean little crevices in cars. I don't know why. One of the ones I was watching the other day, I was pretty impressed because it's one thing like when you take your car to get detailed, you expect the carpets to be vacuumed. That's a no-brainer.
Yeah.
There's all kinds of crazy tools out there to get more dirt out of a carpet. And that is fascinating to see how much dirt actually lies inside the carpet pile. Now, I was watching another one where they not only did they vacuum the back, you know, trunk of the car, but they put a pattern in it. So it was like that's kind of cool. You open the trunk and it's like, looks pretty cool because there's this crazy pattern in the back of it. Well, then there's another gentleman that put the logo of the car in the actual carpet, actually had a stencil that he could
vacuum it into the car. Wow, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, so in the carpet, there's this big Mercedes emblem like that's now in the carpet. Now, of course, once you set your bag on it, it's done.
Yeah.
But it would make me want to keep the car cleaner for longer, one, having that there. Second is that it's that little thing that when you're out with your friends or your family or whatnot, and you open the trunk or you're like, people are getting into your car and they go, dude, that's so cool. And they're like, oh, my detailer does that.
It also is like one of those things that as a business, right? I'm thinking that detailer is like, think about the recurring business from that, because I would think, ooh, every time I go pick a friend up from the airport or something, I'm going to make sure I have my car detailed right before every time we go on a date night, because that's a cool thing. And I know that only lasts until your feet touch the carpet, right? And those are those things that all of a sudden, not only do you have a raving fan who might talk about you, but they're going to start using you again and again and again just because of that little thing. Now, you have to be good at all the other stuff too. I think, right, we have to highlight that this does mean you need to be good at your business in general, because if the center console still looked like garbage,
yeah,
it doesn't matter that you have that logo in the carpets, right?
Yeah, not at all. But it's those little things that doesn't cost that detailer any more money at all. It's really just taking the time and the attention to say, how can I add just that little teeny extra? And I think we have so many opportunities in the home buying process and home selling process to offer that little bit extra. And I would just encourage everybody, you know, stop and look at your entire process from the moment you meet somebody to the moment that you are closing on a transaction, to beyond that, to the next time they buy a house, to say, who can I be in their world and how can I show up that's just going to take it that little extra level? I've been telling people forever, you want to be different in between that moment that they have purchased to the time that they sell again, real estate reviews. And we fight with people all day long to get them to do them. But at the end of the day, that is something that will make you stand out from every other realtor they've ever worked with and ever been around.
Oh, yeah.
It's those little things. It's the cost of your time and some paper. That's what we're asking. That's what we're looking at. It makes a huge difference, though.
Huge difference. And so, I mean, Gary, we could spend a lot of time just coming up with ideas.
This is a never ending.
And saying, hey, you can try this, you can try this. I think for me, there's two big takeaways from this discussion. The first is, when things go wrong, immediately raise your hand and say, I got you. Immediately put the client at ease saying, we are going to resolve this. We are going to figure this out.
Yes.
We're going to figure this out. And then from there, look at like, well, what can I do to make this as easy as possible? Which might mean doing a 400-mile round trip, right? The other is, how do we create notable moments while we're also engaged with a customer and after that create the differentiation that showcase, even though that when people buy and sell homes, there's not a lot of direct comparison. It's not like clients can say, hey, I'm going to work with, I mean, for you, Garrett, right? You're going to be probably buying another car here in another couple of years with your other child, right? Like there's a lot of car buying experiences that have happened because of the number of people in your family. When it comes to real estate though, it's not like, hey, I'm going to buy a house with Garrett. I'm going to go buy a house with Matt and see kind of who's better. So we have to do things that people will notice as, wow, this is definitely something that's different, right? And yep, they're just these little things that we need to do. And it all starts with just paying attention to the person that we're working with to create those experiences. So, and as you said, I guess this is the third takeaway, look at your systems to see how you can set things up so that you can have things that are ready to go without costing you a whole lot of money and time, for that matter. Those are my takeaways.
Well, and you know, again, just to throw kind of another idea here on the table, like one of the basic systems we talk about in Ninja is customer service calls. And, you know, we talk about the number one thing that people complain about is that they don't hear from their realtor and they're waiting to hear and they need information. They want to know what's going on. And sometimes it's just as simple as that, as saying, you know what, I'm going to own customer service calls in my business. I'm going to make sure every single week, every single person gets a phone call from me updating where we're at, what's going on, even if I've got nothing to report. Sometimes just something as simple as that. And as I say, when the bar's been set low, something as simple as that will set you apart from any realtor they've ever done business with and creates a raving fan. So Matt, I love where you've kind of gone with this of like, it doesn't have to be expensive. It doesn't have to be this big thing. Sometimes it's just being very consistent with the little things and showing up and just doing a little bit outside the box, when even outside the box should be what should be expected.
Yeah.
That's my feeling.
Well, and I think that's how you can level up, is expect yourself to be outside the box, because I don't think the customers expect that. They don't. People expect a good, smooth process, right? Like when I go out to places, my expectation is I want to walk away feeling good, right? I'm not expecting to walk away feeling wowed.
Yep.
Like I'm expecting to go to a restaurant, eat some good food, have some good service, and leave with a smile, right? When I go to a car buying experience, I expect to have some negotiation. I also expect to see the car that I want to see and drive it and understand, is this the car that I want or not? And the salesperson probably to give me a little pitch, and that's kind of probably it.
Yep.
And if we buy the car, we do. If we don't, we don't. That's what I expect. And that's what most people expect. So we have to say, okay, am I delivering expectations or am I delivering more? Your goal is to deliver more.
Yeah. Just deliver, and sometimes just a little bit more. Doesn't have to be a ton.
Teeny bit.
Just a little bit more.
That bottle of water can go a long way.
The opportunity with, and we can end this on this, Matt, in a world right now that you are needing to back up what your value is and your fees that you decide that you personally are charging to help people with the home buying and selling process, it is becoming more and more in your court that you are the one that is in charge of what you are charging. You need to know what your value is. And it really helps when somebody's running around saying, oh my gosh, they're worth every penny. They're different than any other that you've ever worked with like this. You should be looking at your business right now saying, do people understand what my value is? And am I bringing enough to the table to back up this fee that I'm charging for my business and for my service? We need to be looking at this right now. This is a great time to start analyzing and asking yourself, what can I add in? What can I be doing? How can I raise the bar? How can I outshine everybody else? Because every dealership in Vallejo, they are looking at the other dealerships and they are driving down the road and they are looking at how their displays look. They're looking at the ease of access to that dealership. They're looking at when you walk into our dealership, do you hear music? What's the temperature in here? What's the light? Is it an inviting place to be? Is it making people want to get come in and leave as fast as they can? They're business owners, just like all of you are. And they're constantly analyzing this stuff. And the ones that aren't, you can see it.
Yeah.
Because they're the ones that we walked into and we're like, let's get out of here. This is not a place we want to be in. We don't want to spend any more time here. And there's other ones that were extremely inviting to come and hang out in. We wanted to see their cars. Their cars were clean at a different level than everybody else's. Some of them decided to put plastic on the floor. Some of them just decided to leave it as it was. Like all these little things start to add up. And in the industry, in the market, in the world that we're in right now, this is at your fingertips for you to take control over. Don't miss the opportunity. Raise the bar. And I'm going to say one more time, Matt, before you wrap this whole thing up. AutoLinks, L-I-N-X, AutoLinks in Vallejo, California. They're no joke. They're amazing guys. I've met both the owners. Salesperson was incredible, who's Cornelius. And guys, everybody go there and buy a car. I have not paid for this sponsorship.
I love it.
They've earned it.
I love it. Well, AutoLinks, thank you for providing an exceptional experience, which led to this discussion. Thank you, everybody, for listening to the story and tuning into this podcast. If this was your first episode with us, welcome. Man, we're so excited you're here. Head over to our Facebook group, search for the Ninja Selling Podcast on Facebook, join in, answer the questions so we can let you there, and tell us how you found the podcast. I would love to hear about how y'all got to the podcast and what was the first episode you listened to. So drop a post in there about that, which would be awesome because I'm curious, genuinely curious. And thank you to everyone who is our regular listeners, our diehard fans out there. Thank you guys so much for tuning in time after time after time. If there's anything that we can do for you, if you guys want to learn more about coaching or trainings and other things, Ninja, head over to ninjaselling.com. You can connect with Garrett and I through the coaching portal there. Just, you know, click on personal coaching or whatnot, and you can reach out and we can share some information about that or connect you with a fantastic coach if that's what you're looking for. So appreciate you guys. Hope that you have an incredible day. Garrett, thank you, my friend. We'll see you guys on the next episode.
Thanks, Matt. Thanks, everybody. If you enjoyed today's episode and would like more, visit us at theninjasellingpodcast.com.
There you will also find links for more information about Ninja Selling and coaching. Have an incredible day.